Hey guys, Tangents Retro Gaming Podcast here. My name is Toby, and let me tell you, this episode has given me more challenges than anything else. First up, one of the challenges that I've actually had was I got sick, so I was down and out for, you know, a couple days. Tried recording it. My voice wasn't to where I wanted it to be. Then my kids were homesick. Couldn't record with them in the house because it would create so much editing for me just to, you know, get them out. On top of that, today, I had everything lined up. Kids were basically at school. I was home alone, which rarely happens. It's like, you know, I got to do this. Hooked up the mic, hooked up the USB, or to the USB, flipped the lid, hit the power button. She was booting through, then all of a sudden, for some odd reason, my hard drive went kerplunk and wiped it dry. Like, everything on the hard drive was gone. Like, Windows was no longer available. It's like, oh my God. So I tried doing it, hooking the mic up to my phone. That didn't work. So it's a little bit later in the day, and I just said, screw it. I'm going to do what I can to get you guys an episode. So let's go. The show today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look back on Gran Turismo and how mind-boggling it is. Because when I first got or played it for the PlayStation 1, I went into it with high hopes, but if there was hopes between 0 to 100, my hopes were about 60. Because, you know, all the racing car games for the Nintendo, the Nintendo, the Super Nintendo, they were your basic cars and you can upgrade engine, transmission, clutch. I never really went beyond that with any of the other systems and stuff like that for racing car. However, when I played Gran Turismo 1 for the first time, I booted it up, went to like the simulation or the career mode. Next, you know, you could see Ford, Toyota, Honda, Nissan. It's like, what the hell? It just, boom, mind blows. Like, everything. So you go, you take a look, you have $10,000. It's like, all right, so yeah, let's go to Toyota. Click on Toyota, new and used. It's like, what? So you click on new. Prices were a little bit out of my range. It's like real life. So I click on the used. Looked at some of the cheap ones. Like, no. Ooh, Toyota Supra. There's three kinds. Red, black, and white. Yeah, let's pick the black because it's cheaper, you know. Cheaper, less money, more upgrades. It's like, ba-dum. Got it. I went to the upgrades. And what they had, it was unbelievable. They had air, they had suspension, they had tires, they had superchargers, you could do stuff to the engine. Like, it was mind-boggling seeing the transition from 16-bit to what they have on this game. So you go, you take a look, and it's like, license? So, you know, you're doing a few and passing 1, 2, 3, and kind of get stuck on 4, finally be 4, 5, 6. And you're like, oh, okay, I just got past my first license. It's kind of fun. Let's go to the second one. Then the second one got hell of a lot harder. Then there's a few of the license that was just almost next to impossible. Eventually get it. So you tried the last one, and my God, that was just, I'm going to push that license off to the side. I don't need it. So I go, start racing, the races, started winning, upgrading the Supra, starting to absolutely kill everything, going from track to track, circuit to circuit, making the money, coming in first almost every single time, just being the menace driver of all freaking time. It was just beautiful, and I'm not even going to say anything negative about it. So of course, you know, you're doing your racing, stuff like that, unlocking new cars, fixing them up, keeping them, selling them, and just moving to the different not races, but series. I get to the one where it was, what was it? American versus European. It's like, all right, I'm gonna try this. Couldn't. It's like, God damn it. So I was down at one of the bookstores and noticed that there was kind of like a book for Gran Turismo. It's like, oh, sweet. Looking through all the cars that you can win, all the like the little tips, hints, tricks, and noticed that the American and European, if you got first, you got the Chrysler Copperhead or the Dodge Concept car. It's like, oh, I like the looks of that. So I go back to took a look at the best ones they suggest and kept going, kept getting my ass kicked. But eventually I ended up winning that series, which got me the concept car. Holy man. As soon as I raced it, I felt in love. So after I was done that circuit, I went back and started tinkering around with it, lowered a bit, made the suspension a little bit harder in the back, softer in the front, screwed around with the gear ratio so it could basically quarter mile finally hit like max gear. So I tuned this thing massively to the point that I was finishing these, I was lapping them in like almost like a 2 lap race for half of these things. My buddy Gio, he was even came over. He made us, what was it? A Nissan R34 Skyline. And we got that thing close to 9 seconds, like 9.11. 9.9, 9.11. And this thing was freaking fast, like incredibly fast. We tuned it. We spent hours, like literally hours, tuning this car because we want one of the fastest cars on the game. And the handling, it was good, but it wasn't great. The quarter mile was incredible. Nothing bad against it. So I bought that and I bought the R32, tried duplicating it, but I couldn't get the time that the 34 had. So it's like, you know, okay, whatever. That's that. Bought the Toyota Supra, tuned that thing to the point where it couldn't go any faster. Like the quarter mile was right at that. It was fast too. Like it was like the 34 Supra 32. So, of course, all my friends always kept picking those three cars. Like, always. I was like, come on, guy. That's it. It's time to play with the big boys. He goes, everybody's like, what are you talking about? So, grab a hold of the concept car, start racing, and exact same thing. High speed ring, they would kill me on the straightaway. But as soon as that first corner rolled around, you could see them skirting off to the right, going high. I'd scoot along the left, just blow right past them. Every single corner, I was hugging, I was moving, dodging. They would slow down to 70. I'd go through at 110. Like it performed beautiful. And to this day, when it came to that Chrysler, that concept car, nobody has ever beaten me with that car. Everybody's tried, but the only way that you could have technically beat me with the concept car was with the concept car. That's how good it was. And I don't know. It was just one of those things that they will never, ever, ever do was beat me with that car. And I still have it. You know, after like 24, 25 years, I still have that memory card with the game save. And I even have the records that I've used. I tried going back and tried beating some of the records. I'm not even close to beating those records. Like, I must have been freaking good back in the day. Like, with me trying now, I'm about 2 to 3 seconds off. That's how incredible I was back in the day. Like, even with the concept car, I'd get my ass kicked. All right, enough about the cheat code via car. I know everybody has their own style, their own tuning, everything like that. And, you know, that's absolutely fine. But what makes this game absolutely incredible is when you start getting into the backstory of Gran Turismo. The people who created it took little more than 5 years to actually create this game. And when they created it, they pushed the boundaries as much as they could to ensure that they could actually get a good, half-decent game out. One of the developers of this game said that there was still about 25% of the PlayStation 1's abilities left. But when they started doing what they wanted to do, it would actually push the capabilities of the PlayStation to be like 125%. One of the things that they wanted to do was, instead of having the 6 cars on the track at the same time, they wanted to have 12. But the PS1 could never handle it, they said. So they just said, okay, we'll just keep it this way. And that's what they did. So that's the reason why you're only racing 6 and not 12, is because of the fact PlayStation could have never handled it. Which, you know, it does suck, but what do you do? The head honcho of this, like the company who made this game, basically said for about 5 years it was work, eat, sleep, work, day in and day out, just to get this actual game out and about. And seeing the perfection that they did with this game, it was 100% worth it. And they should be very proud, since this is one of the best-selling games in PlayStation 1 history. Like, it beat everything out. Like, when you had a game, Gran Turismo was number one. There was another company out there who was ranking games, and they said that this is probably the second best racing car simulation game ever, right behind Pole Position. So it's like, all right, let me kind of tune in. So I went back, typed in Pole Position, took a look, seen it, and it's like, oh, I remember that game. That game was pretty good. So having it go up against Pole Position, I do have to say Gran Turismo really made a mark in gaming history. And yes, there has been couple spin-offs like Gran Turismo 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But with the first one, it just, nothing can beat it. The master, the art, everything. It was just perfect. Then when you have Gran Turismo 2, I played it, and when I went and tried it, I got the concept car, and I was massively turned off for this really dumb reason, is because it wasn't as fast as the first one. I'm going to make that as another podcast episode, maybe a continuation of this one, but anyway. So the ratings of this game, it was probably one of the most incredible ratings out of the ratings that I've seen within the last like 24 hours. There was about 7, and everybody on average gave it between an 8.5 to a 9.5. There was one person who gave it a 10 out of 10, saying it was perfect right across the board. I do remember back when it first came out, and I was reading a review about it in Sony PlayStation's magazine. One person gave it like a 9.5, and it had all these pros to it. And one of the cons, which I think is one of the most dumbest thing ever, and it's probably one of the things that they had a nitpick just to find something wrong so they wouldn't get a 10 out of 10. But they said you could not hold the throttle when going around the corner. Yeah, you know, it's a racing car game. If you have a fast car, you're not going to be able to go around the corners like full throttle. Slower cars, yes. Faster cars, no. So you can't take my concept car around a corner at full speed at, like, say, 170 miles an hour and expect to, you know, coast around it beautifully. But if you had a Honda Prelude stock, that would be easy. So to me, this guy was nitpicking almost everything and the dumbest thing, just not to give this game a perfect score. Anybody who gave this game a perfect score, I'm going to give you credit. Like, this game absolutely deserves it. The amount of copies, it was like 10 million copies of this game was sold. If this game was more or less, you know, released today with the amount of people and the amount of systems being sold, this thing probably would have been in the 20, 30 million. Like, you could call me crazy, but I really do think that that's what it would be. Like, in 25 years, it would have probably doubled or tripled. Like, mind-boggling. So, reality, I feel that Gran Turismo 1 is kind of like the OG, the double OG, the triple OG of racing. Because after this particular game, that's when everything else started blowing up with the different cars, the styles of turbo, supercharged. Like, it opened the doors for, like, Forza. There's just no doubt about it. So, Gran Turismo, creators of Gran Turismo, I give you credit. I've played this game for like over 2,000 Gran Turismo days just because it's so good. On my Mount Rushmore, if I had to sit down and think, okay, which game did I put massive hours in and which game would I like for the rest of my life? I'm going to have to say Gran Turismo is on there. It would probably be about two or three on my list. Number one, Rainbow Six Las Vegas 2. Gran Turismo would probably be two, maybe three. So it made that much of an impact, and it made me love the PlayStation just a little bit more. However, NHL Power Play 98 made me hate PlayStation a little bit more. And that's another episode. All right, you guys. Hopefully you had a wonderful evening. I'm back on track. If you have any questions or comments, tangentsgamingpod@gmail.com. tangentsgaming189 across all social media. Blah, 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 blah. And yeah, if you have any questions, comments, just do that. Or you can hit me up on X, tangentsgaming189. Send me a follow, like, share, subscribe, you name it, get it out there, and let's do it. Until next time, you guys, thank you for tuning in. Make sure you head over to my Buy Me a Coffee page and hit the follow button, because every time you hit the follow button and I release an episode, you will get alerts, so you'll never, ever, ever miss a show again. Until then, you guys, Tangents Retro Gaming. My name is Toby, and I'll catch you later. Peace!